Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet, go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for the episode of Hot Takes with TP3. We are back, guys, off a long hiatus. It's Tuesday, July 18th, 2023. I hope y'all didn't think we quit, because we definitely didn't. We've just been saving up for this upcoming football season. As always, I'm joined by none other than Ben Gorwitz. Ben, it's been a while. How are we doing, my brother?
I'm good. It has been a while. We get to talk about the Conference of Champions today.
Yeah, guys, we're going to start things off as we always do with the Pac-12. We're going to be back once again on Thursday, and we're going to might even have a little different format for that one. We're going to talk about the NFC South, talk about our Falcons. And y'all know how it goes, man. We got a bunch of good stuff coming up. But Ben, let's get into it here, since I know you got a little dinner day a family dinner thing coming up after this. But Ben, the first two things we need to address about the Pac-12 before we jump into all these teams: there's no more divisions, so it's just top to bottom the entire conference. So the tiebreakers work based off of records of like all that. So like if there's a three-way tie, it'll go based off of like all the records of the teams you played, basically like strength of schedule type thing combined. And then on top of that, Ben, they're the conference of quarterbacks this year. So the Pac-12 this is probably the best Pac-12 we've had in the last, what, 10 years?
Probably a while, I would say, yeah. The USC's obviously had the down years overall in the last 10. UCLA in the last 10 have been a little down. They're starting to rise again. But, yeah, a lot of good quarterbacks. And I'm a huge proponent of the no two sides, all in one conference. Mm-hmm. I like that format.
No, I like it a lot, too. And you can even tell by the schedules. I mean, I'd say they did USC a little bit of a favor, but overall, looks like they didn't give like too much bias into the way they laid out the schedule this year. So it's going to be a great year in the Pac-12, guys. I really think me and Ben are going to be staying up way too late on Saturdays watching a lot of college football, which is a great thing for the sport. Ben, with no further ado, though, man, let's get into it. And look, y'all might think we're going to start out here talking about Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, and USC. We're going to talk about them second. But first, we got to talk about the newcomer to the conference, Deion Sanders. He takes over at Colorado. Schedule's absolutely stacked, Ben. They did themselves no favors favoring TCU and Nebraska out of conference. How do you think the Colorado Buffaloes are going to do this year?
Well, so Nebraska is actually an interesting matchup for them, because both schools have a ton of turnover. But Colorado easily had the loudest offseason in I would probably put it in college football history. I can't remember this many changes in one program, especially to a school like Colorado. So we got Coach Primetime in Boulder. After he said he doesn't like cold weather, then he takes this job. So that was – we talked about that when he accepted the job, but it's always still funny to me. If you were on this team last year, you're probably not there. anymore. So, I mean, major roster turnover. They brought talent in. Listen, Travis Hunter obviously followed Deion Sanders. He plays wide receiver and corner, and he's, I mean, at the level he's been playing at, he was dominant at both positions. They brought in Kavassier Smoke, who's a running back at Kentucky for, I think, 2, maybe 3 years. He obviously has his kid playing quarterback, who's getting a lot of hype with these offseason throws.
He
I
is.
mean, I can't stand these videos. There's no defense. There's you're indoors with air conditioning. It's congrats. The kid can throw the ball 65, 70 yards in the air. Who cares? Like, listen, you brought it up. The schedule is not easy. Starting with TCU. Obviously, TCU has a couple changes. We'll get into those when we do the Big 12, but not an easy schedule. With so much turnover, I think we're gonna have some growing pains with Colorado. Can they make a little noise? I really don't know if they can. I think they'll have, like, Travis Hunter. I think he'll make SportsCenter top 10 in a couple plays. I think Shedeur Sanders will have a couple nice runs, a couple nice throws, but I don't expect this team to get over 6 wins if they can even get to that.
Yeah, I don't think this team's gonna go bowling. I think their win total's sitting at 3.5. It was at 5.5 and then 4.5, and it got hammered down by sharps. Like, I'm talking like absolutely steamed down and crazy by sharps. I wish I could have hopped on that one because I would have done the same thing with them. I'm actually shocked, Ben. I was looking at overall strength of schedule. I can't believe the strength of schedule is not like top 10 in college football, but in my opinion, it looks like the hardest in the entire Pac-12. They really have no favors on here. They still have to play at Utah, at Washington State, at UCLA, USC, Oregon. So on top of the fact that they literally play like an impossible out of conference schedule, they have to play an equally as impossible in conference schedule. If this, they actually have the most roster overturn in college football history, the third hardest
There you
schedule
go.
in the conference overall based off strength of schedule. So unfortunately, guys, I don't think Deion Sanders is going to go bowling. This team was the worst team in college football last year, and they almost made college football history for how bad they were. So I think 3 wins, you take chalk that as the W for Deion Sanders and you move on. Ultimately, I think if this team wins 4 games, it's a great season.
Just bring any kind of excitement to Boulder, Colorado. I think it's the goal.
Yeah. And also, guys, at me on Twitter and or Instagram if you would like to bet me on their win total going over 4, because I'll gladly take that all day. So if anybody wants action on that, just let me know. But anyway, Ben, let's move on now to another team that actually has college football playoff aspirations. USC Trojans. They came up short last year. If it wasn't for Caleb Williams playing with a strained hamstring and all the other factors, who knows, they might have been able to make it out of there. But Ben, we have the USC Trojans. They're the favorite to win this conference right now. They start out in week 0, taking on San Jose State on the Pac-12 network. So who knows if we'll even be able to watch that game. We might have to use some bootleg streams to pull that one up. But they have pretty easy out-of-conference schedules. They play San Jose State in Nevada. But they also do play at Notre Dame, which is considered out of conference, which will be way later on in the season. That's a rivalry game. But overall, Ben, I think they have a pretty favorable conference schedule. They get Utah at home. Not having to play at Utah is massive. They get Washington at home. They do have to go at Oregon, and then obviously they play UCLA because it's a rivalry game. So overall, I thought they got a decently favorable conference schedule just because that they don't have to play at Utah, and they get Washington and UCLA at home. So they really only have one extremely tough road game. But realistically, Ben, my thing is going to be, first of all, is there a Heisman curse? I feel like whoever wins the Heisman Trophy, they definitely don't repeat as the Heisman Trophy winner, and they usually don't win the national championship the following year if they come back to college. So I feel like there kind of is like a Heisman curse for the guy who comes back. But at the same time, it's really tough to go against them to win this conference. They're top 10 in the nation in returning production. They got 8 back on offense, 9 back on defense. Not to mention they got Bear coming over from Georgia. They have Dorian Singer, a wide receiver from Arizona, who was arguably their best coming in. Marshawn Lloyd, who's like a bowling ball running back in the backfield. They did have the most turnover luck in college football, though, last year, which was one factor that helped them. Like, I think they had like a 17, they were 17 plus in the turnover margin last year, which is usually pretty hard to reciprocate. But overall, Ben, I think this USC team's loaded. I think my biggest question for them is, besides the Heisman curse, is going to be, is Alex Grinch worthy of being a college football defensive coordinator, and can he coach this team up well enough to win a national championship?
Yeah, and Alex Grinch is by far the biggest X factor for this USC program. If you look at stats defensively, they're just about in the 100 or more or higher in almost every defensive stat last year. So They weren't good. They weren't great against the run. They were horrible against the pass in terms of teams that can win their conference's standards. They're horrible in that. Alex Grinch has got to get it figured out. I don't know how. It must just be like a comfortability. Like he's comfortable, Lincoln Riley, with Alex Grinch because the defense was horrible at Oklahoma, and he just brought him with him. So I don't know what that's about. But listen, the schedule, it's a little tougher this year because they do get Washington and they do get who they and Oregon, which they didn't have last
Yeah.
year. But like you said, there's one tough road games at Notre Dame. The rest they have at home. Don't forget they brought in Cliff Kingsbury from Thailand. Just got fired in the NFL, went straight to Thailand, said, I'm done. I'm gonna take a few years off. And his old buddy Lincoln Riley called them. And so listen, if you're a quarterback, it's hard to not go to USC right now with Lincoln Riley and Cliff Kingsbury. I'm very interested to see what that offensive dynamic is, and we'll kind of learn more as the season go what Kingsbury's actually doing at USC because he's not going to call plays. He's definitely not the biggest mouth in the offensive film room. It's definitely Lincoln Riley. So listen, defense, defense, defense for USC. They easily have the Heisman front runner and Caleb Williams as they should. They brought in the number one receiver, Branch at a high school. So listen, loaded with talent. They just have to get some stops because let's not forget, they lost to Tulane the last time we saw them on the football field.
I'll give them a little bit of a pass though in that bowl game. I feel like that was almost like the checkout moment. I mean, Caleb Williams did play, but like Jordan Addison was gone to the NFL at that point. Michael Dyer was out for the season. They had some of the other defensive guys that were planning on going to the NFL, didn't really play. So, I'll give them a little bit of a pass on that one. But I do agree with you, Ben. It's gonna be an interesting season from the Trojans. I'm excited to see how everything plays out for them. Let's keep firing though in this conference. There's a lot of places we can go, but we got to give respect, Ben, to the reigning conference champs, and we can't cast them aside just
Two
yet before
time.
we go anywhere else. Yep, back to back, baby. The Utah Utes have won back-to-back conference championships, and they did themselves no favors with the schedule as they get Florida this time at the house. Then they have to go out on the road and play Baylor. Then they play.
Florida's
They
a
pull.
revenge game, too.
Yeah, Florida's massive revenge game. Not to mention they get UCLA at home. They have to play at USC. They do get Oregon at home, but they have to play at Washington as well. This is also a pretty tough
At
schedule as
Oregon
they.
State.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I forgot about that one. Yeah. At Oregon State is always a tough game, guys. Corvallis is one of the hardest places to play, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Ben, you want to lead us away on Utah this upcoming season?
Yeah, and listen, Utah is in a good position in terms of preseason hype because not only are they the two-time reigning champs, they do have a lot of people coming back. Obviously, Cam Rising is back, and this is what the formula has been for Kyle Whittingham to be success, is he's got a proven track record when he's got a veteran-type squad. Utah is very consistent. I'm looking at the last 5-year win trend. They lost 4 games last year, 4 games the year before, 2 games in 2020, 3 games in 2019, and 5 in 2018. So they hover around that 3 to 4 loss mark every single year. It's pretty consistent. They're obviously they've become a powerhouse in the Pac-12 with back-to-back titles. Listen, I love watching this team play. They're extremely physical. They actually just had the best recruiting class that they've had in school history. So those guys will be freshmen. I don't know how many are projected to play. But like I said, they return a bunch of starters. I just think winning the conference 3 times in a row in a conference like this, where there's not an obvious top dog, I think it's really hard to do. So I'm not going to have Utah going for the three-peat. I think the schedule is a little tricky this year.
Yeah, Ben, I think they might have overdone it a little bit with the scheduling. Like, I probably would have played one or two of those teams out of conference rather than playing both Baylor and Florida to start the season off. This team, though, is stacked on both sides of the ball straight up. They have the best. So multiple websites based off their projections. They're one of the only teams outside of like Georgia that have a front seven as touted as they do. The back part of their defense isn't as great, but they have seven starters back on offense and nine back on defense. The front seven though is going to be nasty. Kyle Whittingham is normally like seen as a pretty humble guy. On Phil Steele interviewed him, and Phil Steele even said in a podcast to listen to, he said Kyle Whittingham straight up told him. That he straight up told him, he goes, look, We have the most stacked lines in college football. He says on the offense and defensive line, he doesn't think anybody can match up against them in the trenches. I think Herbie Smart might have something to say about that. But this team's won nine in the last three seasons. They're 19-0 at home. They have not taken a loss at home. But I'm a little worried about this team, like you said, Ben. I think the schedule is too hard. And on top of that, Micah Pittman, FSU guy, transfers in there. He had surgery. Their backup tight end, Kuthi, he was actually supposed to start over Dalton Kincaid, but he could not get healthy last year. And ultimately, he had surgery, and he's not even 100% yet. And Cam Rising just tore his freaking ACL in the Rose Bowl. And Cam Rising, I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround from tearing your ACL. And also, Ben, when I look at Cam Rising, the way he plays, in my opinion, he's not really like the kind of guy, you know, that picks you apart down the field. He's really good in play action, and he's good at using his legs, making plays. I personally think that Cam Rising is not going to be 100% right off the bat. And I think having to play Florida and Baylor back to back might be too tall of a task. I think they're going to drop one of those. And ultimately, I think this will be a down year for the Utes. I see at least 4 to 5 losses for them.
Which is where they've been consistently, around that 4-loss mark.
Yeah, I feel like that they're going to play one of these Pac-12 big dogs, though, and ruin their season late in the season. But I think they're going to struggle out the gates a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how everything ends up playing out for them. Let's keep it rolling, though. Next up, we got to go with another one of the Pac-12 surprise teams. Kalen DeBoer really turned things around in his first year as the Washington football head coach. This Washington team brings back arguably the second best wide receiver duo outside of Ohio State's in all of college football with Rome Odunze. I'm forgetting the other guy's name off the top of my head. And then also Michael Penix Jr., I believe, led college football in passing yards last year. He's going to be back as well. He's one of the Heisman favorites. Ben, when I look at this team, man, with Washington here, I think they got a pretty easy schedule out the gate. At Michigan State might be tricky, but I think they should be able to get it done. They get Oregon at the house. They finally go on the road and play at USC with about 4 games left in the regular season. I think that might be where they could take their first loss of the season. Then I think versus Utah could be a tricky game. Luckily, though, they get them at home. And then versus Washington State and at Corvallis, that's not exactly the easiest schedule to end the season out. I think this team's going to go 10-2, though, this season. I really like what they've done. They have a nice defense. I think that their defense isn't getting as much hype as it should. Washington was known for their defenses before they had the crazy offense last year. They're absolutely stacked on their D-line. One thing, though, that is a little scary, too, Ben, is they're 4-1 in close games last year, so some regression could come. But I think the 8 starters back on defense is going to be huge. They brought most of their team back. 8 back on defense, 7 on offense.
So they lost 9 defensive backs, not defensive players. Defensive backs to injuries at some point in the season last year. I think 7 of them returned.
Yeah.
I think 1 graduated and 1 may have transferred out. So listen, health is the biggest thing with this team. Michael Penix, other than last year, has not really stayed healthy throughout a full year when he was at Indiana. Last year, he was finally healthy for a full season. Like you said, he led the NCAA in passing yards. He was a Heisman. Was he a Heisman finalist, or was he just – maybe his name was thrown around in the end.
Yeah, I think he finished 5th or 6th.
Yeah, I mean, which is incredible for a Washington player. Listen, you said the defense should be really good. The offense is stacked, especially in the passing game. 2 leading receivers are back. They lost their running back. Penix is back at quarterback. Coach is back. And their offensive coordinator, let's not forget, was one of the hottest names to leave Washington in the offseason. Every single school that needed an offensive coordinator was calling for this guy, even Alabama. He ended up staying at Washington. I think that's a huge, huge step in the right direction for Michael Penix and the Huskies going into this current year. I'm really high on this team. Now listen, the last 4 games are not easy. 2 of them on the road being at USC, home against Utah, at Oregon State, Washington State. I don't think those are easy. I think if you go 3-1 there, I really think this team could be a playoff contender. I think they're a playoff contender coming into this year. I really do.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you there, Ben. I like a lot what I see out of this team. They're at +320 right now to win the Pac-12. There could be some value definitely in taking that one right there. Let's talk, though, now about some of the other teams here that deserve some love in the conference. UCLA had a pretty decent season last year. And we'll do UCLA and then Oregon. So UCLA had a decent season last year. Dorian Thompson-Robinson's gone to the NFL. Still, though, the offense stays loaded. They got 9 back on defense. Their upcoming schedule for this season, they might play one of the easiest out-of-conference schedules I've ever seen. They play Coastal
this
Carolina
is the easiest
first.
Schedule.
Yeah.
This is the easiest schedule in the Pac-12.
Yeah, for sure. They play Coastal Carolina at home, then they play at San Diego State, then they play NC Central, and then after that they're at Utah, which is going to be very tough, at Oregon State, at USC. So their in-conference schedule is hard, but their out-of-conference schedule is pretty easy. Ben, what do you think about the Bruins?
Well, they also got Dante Moore, who I'm really excited for. What's the date? Oh, they don't play Oregon this year. Dante Moore is lucky because he was committed to
Yep.
Oregon and then flipped at one of the quarterback high school quarterback competitions or something like that. Former five star. At one point, he was the number one quarterback in the country ahead of Arch Manning. I think he just reclassified. So listen, he's there. I think he's projected starter. I don't know if Chip Kelly is really. Given him the job publicly just yet, but I think they're going to regress a little bit. I think the road games in conference are tough. Now, listen, I said it's the easy schedule in Pac-12. I'm saying that because, like, I think they're guaranteed to lose at Utah. They're guaranteed to lose at USC. Other than that, they're all winnable games. UCLA is just going to choke somehow. Last year, they started, I think, 5-0, and then lost a couple of games, won a couple of games. They kind of limped to the finish line. I think a little inexperienced on the offensive end this year with a young quarterback, possibly. When does like does Chip Kelly ever have to figure it out again? Like, is I mean, he you get the number one quarterback in the country, you probably get a couple more years, but like he, I wouldn't say his time at UCLA has been all that great. Would you?
Well, he did upset LSU. He did go 9-3 last year. I guess 9-4 because he lost the bowl game. But ultimately, Ben, I think from where the trajectory took UCLA as a program before he came there, they were not looking too hot. So I think that where that he's got the program at now compared to where it was, I think he's definitely bought himself some time. And I mean, ultimately, UCLA, in my opinion, is a basketball school. They're just happy to have a football program that's
Definitely
going to bowl
are.
games and winning games. So I think that Chip Kelly's pretty secure overall.
They were in 2023, they finished 37th in recruiting. 2022, they finished 61st. 2021, they finished 30th. I feel like Chip Kelly could do a little bit better, especially being in Los Angeles and playing in one of the most famous stadiums that there is in college football. They play in the Rose Bowl. I feel like he's not recruiting anywhere close to what he was doing at Oregon, and I feel like UCLA shouldn't be too hard to recruit for. He needs to stack a couple 9-10 win seasons in a row, then maybe he can get there again. They were the number 10 transfer portal recruiting class and number 37 overall. So they finished like 35th or something like that. Like it's not bad, but it's not great.
Yeah, you would definitely expect a little bit better out of Chip Kelly overall. Ultimately, though, Ben, when I look at you, UCLA, I think they have a pretty winnable schedule. Their defense was actually pretty serviceable last year as they were plus 72 yards per game against their opponents. They did steal Cal's best wide receiver, and they got that Ball State running back Steele, who's a beast. Ultimately, though, so their RIP, their defensive coordinator did pass away during the offseason, so they're going to play inspired for him this season. And they bring in Dan Lynn from the Ravens, who's pretty good defensive coordinator. We know how aggressive those Ravens defenses can be. Chip Kelly brought him over here to call the defense. I actually like UCLA a lot. I think they have a pretty favorable schedule. The way I look at the way it breaks down, you're right. They probably will drop one they shouldn't. Like last year, they lost at Oregon in a close game, and then they were about to play USC for basically who's going to go to the Pac-12 title game, and then they got upset by Arizona the week before. I'm pretty high. I mean, if Dante Moore is as good as I think he's going to be, I think the Bruins are going to have a shot to win this conference, and I think plus 3,200 is a lot of value for him.
Yeah, I won't be taking that one.
No, I can't blame you. That's more of a bet you take on like FanDuel or something like that, where you can sell, where you can
Cash
take the
out.
cash out option if they start out hot. I think that's the way you do with that one. Ben, let's talk about him though, man. Bo Nix is back. Believe it or not, this guy's playing like his 20th year in college football. We got Bo Nix back here with the Oregon Ducks. Oregon doesn't do themselves any favors playing at Texas Tech
No.
week two, which I think is going to be one of the most slept on good games of week two and one of the harder games. It's going to be a Fox matinee. On top of that, they're going to play at Washington, at Utah. They have to play Oregon. They get Oregon State at home. They avoid USC. Or actually, no, sorry. They play get USC at home. So overall, they play all the big dogs in the conference, and they have some pretty tough road games on here. I'm gonna go ahead and say it, Ben. My 5-unit bet for college football win totals is Oregon under 9.5 wins. I don't like this at all for the Ducks. So first of all, Kenny Dillingham's the guy who was the offensive coordinator Bo Nix's first year at Auburn when Bo Nix looks like he's going to be a first round pick when he came out when he first got there. Last year, Bo Nix looked the exact same once again with Dillingham calling plays until he got hurt. Dillingham left. He went to Arizona State. He's not there anymore. I don't think he can do it like that. On top of that, they bring in the UTSA offensive coordinator. His name, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I don't think he's quite that guy. They got basically a brand new offensive line. They bring back 8 starters on both sides of the football. They actually lost a lot of guys to the NFL on defense who were like who were like really good Oregon players. I don't think they can just flat out replace those guys out of thin air. I think this is going to be a pretty tough season for the Oregon Ducks. I think they lose at least 3 games. So the fact the win total is 9.5, I love going under it, but I think they're going to lose 4 games personally. I think Texas Tech definitely beats them in week 2.
Yeah, you mentioned losing some production. Their offensive line was up for the was the semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award last year, which goes to the best offensive line. 4 of those starters are gone from last year. They have 2 that returned. One was a starter, then one kind of filled in for a guy that got injured. But like you said, I mean, they got to replace a lot. Noah Sewell is gone from the linebacker position. Christian Gonzalez is gone from the cornerback position. Christian Gonzalez probably should have gone higher than what he did in the NFL draft, but he didn't. They still got Dan Lanning, who's going to be the second year of coaching. This guy, if we know anything, knows how to coach defense. So I'm interested to see kind of how he replaces some of those key players that they lost. It's all about returning production, and they don't return as much as Utah does, and they didn't do as well as USC and like the transfer portal and overall. So I kind of agree with you. I think they float around that 3-loss mark. Listen, I think Oregon, I think you're still going to have a good year when you have a quarterback that's been in college for 4 years. Don't get me wrong, but is he a Heisman dark horse finally? I'm just kidding. I'm interested to see what Bo Nix finally looks like with a new quarter with a new coordinator again. He's dealt with a million of them in his college career, so another adjustment he has to make, and it's finally his last year of college.
Yeah, it'd be about time for Bo Nix to move on. He probably won't be playing QB at the next level, but we'll see where he ends up, what he ends up doing. I mean, he probably won't be playing much QB at the next level, but we'll see what ends up happening for Bo Nix as he after he has to move on from here. Ben, let's keep things rolling though here. I believe we only have 2 more teams we need to touch on. Let's go ahead and touch on them. Oregon State comes back off the best season in program history, a season where they won 10 games, including beating up on a Florida team that didn't want to be there in their bowl game. So for Oregon State, let's put their schedule right now. Sorry, I just had a pop-up that screwed me up right there. So they play a pretty easy out-of-conference schedules. They play at San Jose State. They play UC Davis, San Diego State, but then they have to play at Washington State. They do get Utah at home, so they avoid that one on the road. They do get UCLA at home, which is huge. They get a pretty lucky
And
schedule
they
here,
avoid
honestly.
USC.
Yeah, they avoid USC, and they get to play at Colorado, at Arizona as 2 of their road games and out Cal. So they get to play at the 3 easiest spots. Ben, this looks like a pretty favorable schedule. But if I'm being honest with you, I don't think what they can do that they're going to be able to do again. And they lost so many guys on defense. They only have 5 starters back on defense. And this was a team that was terrible. They were the laughing stock of the Pac-12 for a couple years in a row. Coach completely turned things around for them. Run it. They bring in one of the biggest guys in the portal as they bring in former Clemson quarterback DJ Ugalele. Running back Damian Martinez is first team all Pac-12 right now. I still think they're going to be more of an 8-4 team this upcoming season. They're first in deep and red zone defense and first in rushing defense in the conference. I think though they really maxed out what they could get out of their team. I just don't see them being able to get that much out of these guys once again. I got to sell on them here, man. I think Oregon State goes 8-4.
Yeah, when you say Oregon State football, I think of physicality and toughness. They're not afraid to run the ball 18, 20 times in a row. I don't know why I said 18, 20 times in a row, if that's what's working. Their running back's a stud. Here, listen, it's intriguing. DJ Uiagalelei is one of the most intriguing quarterbacks to watch. He was one of the best quarterbacks out of high school. I would say struggled at Clemson. Obviously had some bright moments, but struggled in a majority of his Clemson career. I would also say Clemson didn't have the best receiving core when he was there compared to past Clemson receiving cores. Oregon State's not doing them much favors. They lost their top receiver coming. He's not coming back from last year. The receiving core is not great. This is a very run first type of offense, type of head coach. I think if they win games, if they upset people, it's just because they're going to play smash mouth football. But yeah, I have them finishing fifth in the conference this year, so not too bad. I have them one spot above UCLA. I'm just interested to see what BJ can kind of do this year, right? So I actually, I said their top receiver wasn't coming back. I should have said their top two receivers are not coming back. So listen, he's gonna have a 4-year college career and not play with like great receivers, but you also have to make something of what you got, and he didn't do a whole lot of that at Clemson. You have a couple less 5 stars at Oregon State. So I'm excited to see what DJ can do this year. I just don't know what he can do.
Yeah, and not to mention that tight end Luke Musgrove, I don't know if you're counting him as one of the receivers not coming back, but he's not going to be back either. And he's a second round pick, like a high pick by the Packers too. So he's not going to be there either, which definitely sucks for them. Ultimately, Ben, yeah, I think I like DJU's move personally. I think DJ's going to have a better
He
season. I
had to
think,
leave. He wasn't
yeah,
going to play.
absolutely. I think DJ's going to play well at Oregon State. Ultimately, though, I just don't think the roster has as much talent as it had last year. Ben, let's talk about the 14. Actually, let's talk about Washington State here briefly.
Yeah.
I'm more the Washington State guy than Ben is here. I want to
Fireworks.
talk about them. Yeah, this is going to be a fun team to watch. They bring in the Western Kentucky offensive coordinator. They do play an interesting out of conference game. They beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin last year. Now Wisconsin comes to town with Luke Fickell and company week two. Another fun matchup for week two. Week two is loaded for college football, guys. It's going to be an awesome week. I think they play one of the easier schedules in the conference. When you look at the way their schedule breaks down, they do have to play at UCLA and at Oregon. But other than that, and I guess they do have to play at
At
Washington, but
Washington.
they get to
Yeah.
avoid USC. I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote that in my notes,
Yeah,
that
but
they play
the
one of the easier schedules. That is a tough schedule. But other than those three games, I think that they have a pretty winnable schedule. Maybe Wisconsin. I think this team probably will lose at least 4 games. Their quarterback Cam Ward comes in from Incarnate Word. He can throw it all over the yard. I think he's very slept on. He's going to be our prize picks wagon this year. I can already feel it. I think they figured everything out after their coaching debacle 2 years ago with COVID and everything, where the head coach didn't want to abide by it. It was crazy. It was weird. But they have 7 guys back on offense. Nobody back on defense. We're going to be hammering the overs in their games this season, and it's going to be fun to watch.
they've nobody on defense.
Yeah, they've got 5 starters back, and their defense was bad last year already.
Fun fact, week three they play Northern Colorado. I think that's Christian McCaffrey's father is the coach of that team.
Yeah, he is.
And I think the brother is the quarterback if he's still in college.
Wow, that is pretty cool.
Well, it's fireworks, like you mentioned, on offense. Ward is the smallest guy on a football field, and he's probably the most electric on the football field. He is the definition of throw up a prayer sometime. He scampers like Kyler Murray to where his feet just keep moving like at a quick pace. But he can turn the ball over. So he's got to keep his turnovers down for this offense to keep rolling like they did towards the end of last year. It's fireworks. It's this offense can put up a lot of points.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. I think they'll be fun to watch. We still have 4 teams left. We have the Stanford Cardinals, Arizona Sun Devils, Cal, and Arizona. Ben, out of those 4 teams, which team do you think is going to have the best season this year?
I'm going to say Arizona. But I think all of them are going to be pretty bad, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think it.
Arizona State, I mean Dillingham, it probably I mean him and Dion probably have the hardest and second hardest first year head coaching jobs. Like
Yep.
Arizona State is in so much turmoil after Herm Edwards just cheating his ass off at Arizona State and didn't accomplish anything there. Their top receiver, I think you mentioned, left the school.
Yep.
So, I mean, Stanford does it. This is the first year without David Shaw, I believe. He's not there anymore, right?
Yeah, David Shaw's gone. They got a new coach in there now.
Yeah, not expecting much out of him. David Shaw is going to be, I mean, other than Harbaugh, he's going to be the best coach Stanford ever has. So I'll say Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. Arizona does play at Mississippi State, which is tough. They still have to play Washington at USC. Luckily, they get Oregon State, UCLA, and Utah all at the house, but they still got to play most of the big dogs outside of Oregon.
Even UTEP won't be easy for them.
Yeah, UTEP's going to be a hell of a game. That's going to be another take the over and watch game. That's going to be 11 p.m. game on Pac. Why do they got to put that one on Pac-12 Network, man? That's the kind of game that I would stay up and watch. That's going to be a that dude. That game might be over at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're going to score so many points, but but no, that's gonna they're going to be a fun team to watch. I think they could potentially get bowl eligible. They did go 5-7 last year after being the laughing stock of college football for multiple years in a row. So I think they'll end up being the most competitive team out of the school group we just talked about there. Ben, let's talk about it, man. It's time. Make our predictions. First of all, who's winning conference player of the year in your opinion?
I'm gonna go Michael Penix. He might be a junior, so if he's a junior, I apologize. But Michael Penix, I think this offense is the best of the best. Listen, I think they can go toe to toe with USC. I really do. Like, I think USC has more big names, but Washington's receivers, like you said, other than Ohio State, hard not to take them against everyone else's wide receiver core. Michael Penix, like I said, is health. If he stays healthy, this team is going to put up a bunch of points.
Yeah, damn, there's so many good players in the conference. I hate the fact that we're going to agree here. Michael Penix threw it all around the yard last year. He's got his receiving quarterback, like you just said. It's impossible to go against him here. I got to go with Michael Penix as conference player of the year, even with Caleb Williams in this conference. That's how hard it is to go against Michael Penix. Ben, who's winning this? What's your conference championship matchup and who's winning?
I got Washington playing USC in Vegas, and I got the Huskies. Purple rain all season long. I think, listen, the difference in that game is defense, and I'm going to trust Washington's defense returning a bunch of guys over USC's who just has never, you, Alex Trench has never figured defense out. So I'm going to take the Huskies to win the Pac-12.
You know, Ben, I've fought with this one a lot. I knew you were going to take Washington to win it. I hate to agree with you, so I'm not going to.
There you go.
I wanted to take Washington versus USC so badly here, guys. I'm going to go with an upset here. Give me USC versus UCLA. We're going to go with the crosstown rivals matching up for a rematch because they're going to play earlier in the season. And as much as I want to say Dante Moore and company can come out here and pull the upset, I've changed my opinion completely from when we talked yesterday. I'm going to take USC, man. It's too hard not to. They got everything back in this conference. It really doesn't even matter what happens in the Notre Dame game. I think they're going to handle their business. I think they will end up losing one game, and I think USC is going to go to the college football playoff this year. I'm taking the USC Trojans to win.
So you should almost take Dante Moore to win the Heisman. If you can get, aren't you going to be in Chicago pretty soon?
Yeah, I'm going to take. Well, my plan is I'm going to take
If you
futures.
think, if, yeah, go. I was going to say,
Well,
do you think UCLA can go to the conference championship